Come fly with Global Air Force. Don't touch that dial. Stay a while and listen to the great things that God is doing in the world today.
I don't know why this flesh and blood human being was stuck to the concrete. I looked. There wasn't nothing holding her, but we couldn't pick her up. And there was a bunch of us trying. And she was, about a third of her body was, the word levitate is kind of a different word, but she was floating. About a third of her body was actually in the air, and something had a hold of her arm, and we couldn't move it. It had something we couldn't see had a hold of her.
Thank you for tuning in to Global Air Force. I'm Jim Rome. We have a most unusual guest today. His name is David Hogan, founder and president of Freedom Ministries. Now, David is known as a missionary to Mexico, but he has been in New Zealand and Indonesia. David has also been in Pakistan and other countries, and he has a unique ministry. His family were pastors, preachers. They preached the gospel, but after being around the gospel for many years, he rebelled against the hypocrisy, and he lived a hard life with drinking and gangs and violence. David's personality still is strong and outrageous. But later in life, God called David while on an airplane to the oil fields in Alaska, United States. He received a direct challenge from God to be that man who was no hypocrite, but a man that sought after and walked in the power of God. He accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior and immediately returned on the next flight. And here he is, the outrageous and wild man of God, David Hogan.
I'm going to pick that bundle up. And everybody knows because of the weight of it, I'm going to see what's in there. It came into my world. It's my responsibility to figure it out. So I reach and get it. It's quite weighty. I thought, wonder what? Must be a stalk of bananas up in there. So, okay, we got it. Hang on. So, this woman walks up, and she says to me, nothing. See, when people believe in the power of God in you, they have very little to say about it. Anything. And she laid this bundle down on the table. That's right beside my Bible. My preaching Bible was right on, we do little bitty tables. And my preaching Bible was laying right down on this table, and there was a bundle put there, a little blanket, just a pile, just a blanket. And I'm looking at that blanket, and I'm looking at the mother. I don't know her. She's one of our sisters, of course. I don't know her. But everybody knows me. You notice how when you started coming bringing stuff up, I started participating. I'm in. You think you got faith? I do too. You want to see the rain? I know how to bring it. It's called the Holy Ghost showers of many blessings. Everybody knows I'm going to pick that bundle up. And everybody knows because of the weight of it, I'm going to see what's in there. It came into my world. It's my responsibility to figure it out. So I reach and get it. It's quite weighty. I thought, wonder what? Must be a stalk of bananas up in there. I open up that thing. Oh, no, not fortunate enough to get a brand new stalk of bananas cut and brought up there so I can eat it while I'm talking. It's a dead baby. All right. So, what do you do now?
Well, brother, pray, praise the Lord. Pass me my Starbucks.
Listen, I need a little bit stronger word than that, brother. I'm dealing with somebody's baby that died. It's not a cliche. Somebody is in mourning. Somebody's hurting. And they brought that thing there because they thought I might get help. Well, they're right. Because like I told you, I'm a good grandpa. I reason to get this baby, and I take the blanket off and throw it down on the table. And I'm looking at the lady. She won't look at me. Her eyes are fixed on the floor because where I live, that's the way they do. And I'm walking back and forth. I'm looking around at these elders there. They're there. And boy, when I get in this kind of a stance, not very many people will look me face to face. It's because I lost all the jokes all of a sudden. When you're holding a dead baby in your hands, and it's now my responsibility to change the atmosphere and the condition and circumstance. Now, you understand how strong that is? What is somebody asking me to do? It's not even possible by anybody's standards. So I don't deal with the cliches very well. I don't get it. I don't get the whole cute. I mean, I joke all the time, but I don't get the cute deal. This is serious. I got a dead human being in my hands that I can do nothing about until you read the Bible. And then it says, I have put my spirit in him. I have filled him with wisdom. I have given him ability. I have given him intelligence. I have given him knowledge. In him he possesses my craftsmanship. My Bible says, and God crafted the world. So if God can do that, and if God's in me, what is it? What is it? Why is it something that's so far out of your reach if the day you got born again, it was handed to you? How can that be? How can you feel like it's so far away from you when you possess it because Jesus is in you? The blood covenant gives you permission. You have the inheritor's right. So, I'm holding this baby, and I finally said to it, now you listen to me. I command you to obey me. This is a dead baby, 7 hours, the whole deal. And I told the mother, come back and get your baby raised from the dead. It's still dead. The daddy gets up, and he comes up there, he's crying. I said, take your son. God raised him from the dead. But what I'm seeing is the same dead, stiff baby. And I handed it to him. He studied me. He studied me for about, it must have been a minute. It was very uncomfortable. He was deciding whether to take his machete out and chop me or to believe me. But he decided to believe me. The truth is, I'm right. And it makes you like I am when you are. And so he turns around to the wife now. Dead baby in his hands. His baby. Here's our son raised from the dead. And she studied him now. And when mama reaches out, now I'm telling you, there ain't much I fear in life. But you got you a grandma, a mama, something like that, buddy, you better have your hackles up. Something's finna happen. You better be afraid. Because God backs them people. She reached and she looked at me in the face and said, thank you. And when she touched that little baby, you should have seen it. I wish I could make it happen for you. She grabs that baby, and it goes, ah! It came back to life. Woo-hoo! Woo-hoo!
I had one yesterday send me an email, said I am a prophet, and commenced to tear me apart. I deleted it. When you have started 1,000 churches in a hostile environment, when you have raised 500 people from the dead, when you have raised your family in a hostile environment, when you have walked with your wife for 40 years with Jesus, and when you learn how to talk the way Jesus did, I'll listen to you. Otherwise, shut up. I realized I just deleted most of the people on the planet. So that makes my world quiet. The way I like it. Unless heaven intervenes. Now you done got my hat on too. Exodus 31. And there was this girl come up, that was like, I don't know, a couple thousand people in these meetings, and this girl comes up. And now this is important for you. She says to me, she's a good-looking, nice woman. She says, very well-kept, physical. I like people that work out, because I do. And she says, I don't want your God. And I'm sitting there. I've been there preaching. I was actually offering my God for an hour and a half, just straight. Bang. And then the first thing out of her mouth, I don't want your God. And I look at her. And so she says to me, I do not. She was a Muslim girl. She says, I do not want your God, but I do want your God to heal me. Now that raises a whole lots of questions. Especially the one about, what about your God? So I had to ask her, since I'm one of those kind of people. That means I'm not afraid. I fear one thing. That's God. Well, the occasional grandma. Since I'm married to one, 40 years has taught me something. That's to be a smart man. and so she says, my God don't do those things. I said, then I'd change gods. I don't mean anything negative to her about what she's doing. I'm just telling you, if your God can't do what should be done, you need one that can. Simple. I said, what's the matter with you, darling? And she showed me her arm. It was, let's see, hang on. Oh, it was this arm. It was the left one. And her arm, this just happened, the reason I'm telling you this first. Because it's brand new. Her arm was upside down. In other words, she was born with, when her arm is like this, the palm is up. You see, her elbow was completely backward. I asked her, how painful is it? She said, just every now and then it's painful. I've for the most part learned how to use it this way. So, okay. So what do you want from me exactly? Now listen to her word. This is an unbeliever from a different faith, right? Unbeliever from my opinion of what believing is. And she says, I've heard about you. That's one. She said, I've heard about your God. That's two good things. And I've come here so that your God can heal me. Three good things. And I said to her, that's fair enough. And I said to her, I said, all right, this is what I'm going to do. I'm instructed in my Bible to lay hands on you. If you'll let me do that, what's going to happen is these two fingers right here seem to always be enough. I'm going to lay these two fingers on your forehead, and what's going to happen is my God's going to intervene in your life. It's going to change your world. Everything you know about your world is going to change. So if you're not ready for that, I'd suggest you leave and keep yourself with your arm upside down. Because if I touch you, things change. And she says, I want my arm fixed regardless of what changes. All right, I'm good. So I laid my hands on her, and God blew by me like a tornado. Because you see, what I know that you possess, if you love Jesus, I know something about you. There's a freight train in you that's wanting to be out. It wants out. I'm telling you, everybody in this room has a freight train in them, if you love Jesus. And it really likes exposing itself. Especially to unbelievers. In this Holy Ghost hit that girl, and I mean she flew like you shot her with a gun. I'm telling you, she was upside down. The ushers could not catch her. And when she hit the deck, I left. Because otherwise I was going to be blamed for something. I didn't hit her, God did. And so after a while, I went back to check on her. So I was messing with some other devil-possessed people. I like that. I know everybody wants me to talk about raising the dead, and we might get to that. Probably not, but maybe. Because we asked the devil, how many of you is in there? And they said 25. I don't normally talk to them, but this one here was a particular case. It was squirming all over the place and hissing like a cobra. So I thought to myself, self? You might be up against a principality. And myself responded, which most of y'all don't speak back to yourself, but this one up here's got several. There's several of us in here, and we talk to each other. But this one devil was, they come and got me, and I went over there. I was watched the girl fly, and I was over there. I made my way down this way to the right. And there was this carrying on happening. I liked Asia because every service, the least amount of devil possessions was five. There was at least five at once going off. And I liked that atmosphere. It's so out of control. Those devils just don't obey you. Buddy, they just don't. And I like it. To me, it's wonderful. Most Christians, with the amount of time that I have, like the calmer version of Christianity. I never have got a copy on that. I like it when I stand up and say, Jesus is King, and the devil stands right back up and says, prove it. Man, that makes me sleep good at night. Just lets you know every day that Jesus is with you. This snake deal over here, it was rough. I went over there and got a hold of that thing, and this girl was a tribal girl they brought in because she was possessed. And they brought her in from a long way away because the witch doctors couldn't do anything with her. And so they brought her to us, and I like that. I like having that kind of a reputation in the whole wide world. It's fun to me. And then, man, we laid our hands on this girl, and I mean, she went off. She spun out like one of my little kids' toys. She just, I mean, hissing and spitting and biting and kicking. And so I left her. I didn't like her kicking me, so I left. When I left, I went back over here to see how this here girl over here with the upside-down arms doing. And I told him, pick her up, because I want to talk to her about Jesus about now, because she'd been over there stuck to the floor for about a half an hour. So we tried to pick her up, and we couldn't, because she was, I don't understand this. I don't know why this flesh and blood human being was stuck to the concrete. I looked, there wasn't nothing holding her, but we couldn't pick her up. And there was a bunch of us trying. And she was, about a third of her body was, the word levitate is kind of a different word, but she was floating. About a third of her body was actually in the air, and something had a hold of her arm, and we couldn't move it. It had something we couldn't see had a hold of her. And so it was the upside down arm too. And she's sitting there, or she's laying there, and she starts just going off. You know, she says, look here, I can't get up. And I told him, get her up. So you're going to probably fight with the girl over fighting with me, I would imagine. And she looks me right in the face and says, the being has a hold of me. Now, this is an unchurched person. She knows nothing about the Holy Ghost. She knows nothing about the Lord Jesus. She knows nothing about angels. She knows nothing about created godly hosts. And she just called it a being. I said, can you see this being? She said, oh, yes. Would you mind explaining him to me? I couldn't see him. And sure enough, she explained the Lord Jesus as you find him in Revelations chapter 1. Somewhere around verse 9, 10, 11, 12, and 13. And so I was fairly satisfied that I didn't need to bother her anymore. I mean, if Jesus is going to come there with his girdle and everything, you should go ahead and let him do whatever he's going to do. He's probably smart and right. Well, right in front of us, her arm starts turning right in front of us. I saw it with my very own eye. And then she gets up, healed, and then she says, "Who was that guy?" I said, "Well, I know him by Jesus." She said, "Well, who is this Jesus?" I said, "That's the guy I've been talking about for about an hour and a half." She said, "No, this is her words. I'm quoting her. She says, "You mean to tell me he comes with you to these meetings?" I said, "Every day." Yeah, so she says, "Well, what do you do to become like you?" I said, "That's the right question." So I had the opportunity to lead her to Jesus myself. And then, is that a feather? It is, isn't it? So she's healed, she's saved, and now she's drunk and everything. I said, "Pick her up." They picked her up because Jesus let go of her. Laid my hands on her, and when she flew the second time, before she hit the concrete, she's speaking in tongues filled with the Holy Ghost. Is this teaching okay?
Global Air Force wants you. Be a part of the Global Air Force Radio Ministry. Please go to our website at www.globalairforce.net. That's www.globalairforce.net. Global Air Force is here to bring God's love, help, and power into your life. Come fly with Global Air Force.